when Father Don was leaving, I said, "Jumbo," and that's like in Africa, that's how they say hello. And I just got to tell you this quick story. You may have heard Bishop Chuck tell this before, but first time he went there to Africa, and you know, Bishop Chuck is a big guy, you know, he's a big guy. And he was walking down the hall of his hotel, and he just noticed all these people would, he'd pass by him, and they would go, "Jumbo, Jumbo." And so he was telling Bishop Holloway, he said, "You know, he said, they're such nice people, it doesn't seem like they would like, you know, it's kind of insulting when they say that, you know, or, you know, they're making fun of you." And then somebody had to say, no, Bishop Chuck, they're saying hello to you. So anyway, it's always good to cross language barriers. Amen. I want to just share something this morning about, again, resurrection life, because really that's what we talk about. Easter, we experience it, we do all the Easter things that we do, the great, great, wonderful, fun things that we do. We have dinners together, we hunt Easter eggs, we dress up really nice, and I just noticed last Sunday that how many people dressed up really nice, and I really like that, and it's just something that we do, and I think that's those things are all great. But what Easter is really about is the resurrected Christ living in us and through us. That the reality of his resurrection, even the event, says to us that he is alive, he's risen, that he lives in us. And there are things that God through Christ brings to us for us to live this life in the earth. In other words, we're not just speaking about a historical event that is a great thing, that this man was raised from the dead, and wow, that was really cool, and he really did it, and he's really God. But not only that, but that he continues to live. And he lives through us. He lives in us. And he comes to us, and he brings us good things. And we had a very short gospel reading today, because it's a very short message that I want us to get today, and that is that peace that he gives to us. One of the good things that he gives to us is peace. And all of humankind, all people all over the world that have ever lived, one of the things that we just, that is built in for us to have a need for is peace. It's some kind of peace within us. And so in John 14:27, the scripture says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." Peace, my peace. And he makes a distinguishes here between a peace that we get from the world, because he understood, like everybody here, even 2,000 years ago, we think that today, that, you know, peace is something we need because of the chaotic world that we live in, because it's so complicated, because of the so many things that are going on and around us and in our life, that maybe we have this special need for peace that other people of other generations didn't need. But Jesus knew even those people back then, very simple people who had simple lives, that, you know, basically their lives were to sustain themselves and sustain their families and to live and to dwell among one another. But they had a great need for peace. And he knew they had experienced a peace, but it was a peace that the world gives. And so he said, "My peace today, I leave you," talking to his disciples, "with my peace. And my peace is different than the peace that you have experienced." Does that make sense? You with me on that? So, he says, "My peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." So, I'm just going to speak briefly about the peace of this world and what that looks like. and the peace of Christ and what that looks like, so that we can understand what it is we really need in our lives. And so that we can recognize something that's coming to us that's not really what we need. It might be good, but it's not what we really need. The reality of this peace that Jesus said that he was leaving to his disciples is a different peace than we seek and that we find and that we can gain through the world. So as I was thinking about this, about peace, and just meditating on these passages, the first thing I thought about, and I thought about doing this, and I decided against it, but, you know, I'm from the generation, I don't know, what's the name, what do they call the people that grew up in the 60s and 70s, what do they call us? Tim? Old. Huh? Well, they call us baby boomers, but we lived, and I happen to have joined in with a generation of people that, you know, peace had a big meaning, you know, and hippies, you know, they're all kind of things that they call it now. And I wasn't by myself; my wife was there, right with there with me. All of you that think Patty is so holy. But, you know, I thought about doing this today. I thought about putting this, you know, like a wig on and coming out here and maybe having a joint, not a real one, you know, but just, you know, kind of offer it to you guys from peace, you know, peace, brother, peace. Hey, Keith, peace, man. Peace, bro. Peace, everyone, you know, peace. It was a big deal. I mean, that was a big deal. The sign, the symbols of peace, you know, the peace symbol and that some of the people in the church still do that to me. Instead of, you know, giving me the sign of the peace, they go, "Hey, man, peace, bro." But that kind of peace was a false peace. You know, we would say to each other, we would say, you know, "Peace, sister," you know, "peace." And, you know, what we were getting around to is like, you know, let's make love, not war. You know, it's like, this wasn't about really having peace, peaceful existence in our being. It was just more of the manipulation of the world and of the kind of peace that we get from worldly things. It was, but it was a big deal. I mean, you know, there were Jason, you don't remember this, do you, Jake? Ron does. All too well, Ron remembers. I think Ron still has that. He still has some of his tie-dyed shirts and black lights in his room there that he shares here with Jason. But that kind of peace isn't real. That kind of peace has no lasting effect. And then we have peace that we, you know, kind of speak just when we speak to one another in our daily lives and just talk to each other. And, you know, we go, peace, you know, and, you know, sometimes we try to make it a little more spiritual, but it's really just, again, it's a mere formality. It's just something that has no meaning. I mean, we may, you know, again, just because we're Southern people, Southern people always like to say good things, you know, to each other, even when, you know, when we don't really mean it. And we're really good at putting sugar all over our words. But sometimes that peace that we wish for our brothers and sisters and friends is a mere formality. The peace that the world gives is a peace that's basically limited to the body that lives in this world, the emotions that we have in our lives, and it's limited or confined to the time that we live in. It's limited, even at its very best, it's limited to the time that we live in earth. And it's something that may affect our emotions. In other words, if we're upset about something, if we're angry about something, you know, somebody can say something nice to us and then a peace can come over us, but that peace won't last. It soothes our emotions. And it's not bad. It's temporary, though. It's limited. It's limited to its target, and it's limited in time. The peace that the world gives, it can be initiated from flattery. You know, sometimes if we're really feeling bad, we're really getting to a pity party. And, you know, I know most people don't do that, but sometimes some of us get into, you know, pity parties where we're just feeling bad. Everything has gone wrong. Nothing's going right. We don't look right. We're having a bad hair day. Or, you know, everything has happened and, you know, somebody just says something really nice to us. And that's a good thing. But sometimes it's just appealing to our own flattery, our own vanity. It's just flattery that appeals to our vanity. And it's, again, temporary. It's not lasting. Because the next time that we feel that way about ourselves and get into, our own self-image and who we are, the way we act and the way we do things, and we begin to feel bad again about ourselves, unless somebody comes and brings us some kind of flattery, or unless somebody says something good and nice to us, then we'll continue to dwell and live in that place where there's only temporary peace. The peace of this world, more than anything else, is dependent on our circumstances. It's dependent on our circumstances. The peace of this world is ultimately dependent on our circumstances, our surroundings, our environment. It's something that comes because, again, something changes right around us. Some situation, when everything is going really good, then there seems to be a peace. We're more at peace with ourselves. Our hearts are not troubled. It's totally dictated by the surroundings that we have, by things that are going on around us. And again, I don't want to say that all of this peace is evil or wrong, because it can be good. It's always good to, if you see somebody that's feeling bad, it's good to say something good to them. It's graceful. It's powerful. And it will help. But the point I'm trying to make is that that is only temporary peace. And that is not the peace that God, that Jesus was saying, that I will leave with you. That's a different kind of peace. So I want to just speak a little bit about that peace that Christ gives us, that is a gift of the Spirit that comes to us, to us, not only to His disciples that He spoke to then, but to all of their followers and all of those that have followed ever since. There's a peace that comes that passes all of human understanding. And it came, and if you read the verses before, you see that it was initiated and it is maintained by the Holy Spirit. It was an act of the Holy Spirit. He was speaking of the Holy Spirit to them. And that was the context of this peace that He was leave with them and that He leaves to us. This is a peace that is forever. It is eternal. It is not dependent or is not confined to our circumstances. It's the kind of peace that Paul could have when he was down in that jail. And we've spoken about that before. When everything was dark and musky and stinky and scary. And everything else, every fearful thing that you could probably think of was there. Those were his circumstances. But in the middle of that, as he just realized and he began to sing, they began to just worship the Lord and began to be connected to the Lord. They understood there was a peace that came. A peace. It's a peace that can come to any of us. It's the kind of peace that Jesus was experiencing as he was headed toward the cross. It's that kind of peace. It's real. It's real. And it is for us. And it's forever. And it's an eternal thing. And it's not dependent or confined to our circumstances. And I'm saying this for us because I think that even more so, more than ever before, we're experiencing things and that are in different realms, in the political realm, in the economic realm, in all kinds of personal ways, and all these things that are going on around us, all the circumstances seem to be getting worse and worse. But in the middle of that, God says, I will give you peace. Peace. And we're going to need that peace more than ever before. That peace that comes only from Him. Real peace. Initiated by the Holy Spirit. Maintained by His Holy Spirit. Maintained by His grace that is continually poured and poured and poured and poured into our lives. It's a real peace. It's a kind of peace. And I'm just going to give you one illustration for myself and how I know that this peace is real. And how I know that when things are going bad and when things are troubling, you know, and that word there is troubled, it speaks of stirring, like stirring the waters, things just being stirred up. And how many of us in our own lives, our emotions and our spirit and our lives, we just get stirred up, things start happening, and then we start getting anger, and we start getting, you know, confusion and chaos in our life. And that I know that at that point, it's not, I don't need anything from this world, I need the peace of God. And I can remember in my life, when my life was really in chaos, just a point of time in my life, and I'm not going to share my whole testimony this morning, but I want you just to hear a part of it. I told Dwayne Coker, he said, if you'll share your testimony, because he knows my testimony, he knows what God did for me in my life, he said, I'll come and sit on the front row. So I'm waiting for that. I'm not going to share it all right now. But I want to share just a part of what God did and how it worked. But there was a time in my life when I was abusive to my own self and to my family, and I was my whole life was driven by my own sin, my own selfishness, where the addiction to drugs was, you know, it had overtaken me and overwhelmed me, and where I would, a period of time when I would wake up in the morning and I'd start drinking at 9 o'clock in the morning, and I'd start taking pills and you know, whatever I could find. And I was, you know, taking like all these drugs and just drinking all day long, and to the point where I was taking 20 Xanax every day. And if you've ever taken Xanax, you may have to take them. You may have taken them before, but they're really strong. 2-3 a day, maybe. Some people would take those for their nerves. I was taking 20 a day. I was drinking all day long. I had lost over about at least 80 pounds. I weighed hardly anything. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't eat. It went on for months. I couldn't sleep. I would just lay in my bed at night and sweat and just couldn't even think about sleep. Had no appetite. I was literally dying. Literally dying, and just all I could do was take more and more drugs to make the pain go away, whatever the pain was in my life, and there was a lot. But I did everything I could. And I remember one night, and I was living away from my wife. I had left Patty and the kids, and I was living in Gulf Shores, and again, my life was just dwindling away, and it was getting worse and worse. I was just a total, absolute wreck. And a wreck of a person. A wretched, wretched person. And Patty called me on the phone. She used to write to me. I had left her, and I'd been gone for 4.5 years. I had been gone from Patty. I walked away from my little baby Marissa, when she was like about a month old, and Patty and her standing on the porch and begging me not to go. I did everything because I wanted to do things my way. So Patty calls me on the phone one night about 10 o'clock. And she said, you know, the only thing that you can do right now is to just give your life to Jesus Christ. And I said, you know, I knew there was something that said to me, I know that's the right thing to do. I just don't know how to do it. And she didn't really know how to tell me to do it. So she just said, well, why don't you just get down where you are? And I was sitting by my bed. She said, just get down where you are and let's pray. Just get on your knees. So I did. And we started to pray. And I just said, Lord, if you'll take all this out of me, if you'll take away all this desire, to find other things, and I don't remember exactly the words I said, but if you'll take this desire to have this false sense of peace and security by the drugs and all, if you'll take that away from me, I said, Lord, I will serve you forever. And I know I said that. And I didn't know what I was saying all the way, but I knew that I meant it. And so we talked for a few more minutes. And I said, I'm going to go, you know, I said, well, I'll let you go. And we hung up the phone, and that was about 10 at night. And about 4 o'clock that morning, I woke up, and I knew there was a miracle because I'd been asleep. And I hadn't slept in 2 months, at least 2 months. And I was hungry. And when I was taking those Xanax, if I would take one about 30 minutes after I took them, I would just begin to shake like this. And just tremble and shake. And when I woke up, I realized my hand was calm and still. And it had been several hours since I'd taken any drugs. And I hadn't had any alcohol. And all I can tell you is there was a peace that came over me and my spirit. And it was the peace of God. It was the peace of Jesus Christ that came on me. And it was more real than anything that has ever happened in my entire life. It was the peace of God. And I called Patty up. And I said, Patty, I believe Jesus is real. Because He delivered me. And He's given me peace. And I don't know how to talk about it. And I don't know how to explain it. And I don't know what I'm going to do. But that peace of God that Jesus was speaking about to His disciples is real. And it's available for you and for me. And no matter what our circumstances are, no matter how bad we are, no matter how much we want to sin, no matter how much we want to rebel against God, no matter how bad our circumstances are, that peace that He's speaking about is real. It's the peace of God. And it comes through Jesus. And it said to me, you know what? You don't have to tell me He's alive. I know He's alive. I know He lives today. And I know what I believe in is not just another religion. It's not just another way of doing things. It's not just another way to be connected to some God that we can think of. It's real that Jesus Christ lives. He dwells in us. And He has come to give us peace. And so it's meaningful to me when we speak about the peace of God that passes all understanding. Amen. It's real. It's real. And it's available for us. It's available now. And it is His will that we have it. And it's His will that we seek it. And it's His will that we turn to Him when things are troubling, when things are hard, when circumstances are really bad. It's important for us to turn to Him and say, God, grant me that peace that passes all understanding. I'm just going to read a couple scriptures and end this thing. Colossians 3:15, Paul wrote and said, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And I'll never forget when this had happened to me in my life, and Patty calls and says, she said, well, you know, I don't know what to do either. I'll just come down there and we'll go to church. And You know, we'll find a church to go to together. And she was a Methodist, but she had had this thing that had happened with her where, you know, where God just came upon her one day and she just started praying and speaking in tongues and the gifts of the Spirit started working in Patty and all these things had been happening to her. And she said, well, we'll go find a church somewhere where you know, they believe in everything. I said, yeah, I want everything. I want everything that He has for me.
Hallelujah.
Everything. Whatever it is. Yeah, if it's in the Bible, I don't have, you know, I didn't have any kind of like just stuff in me that said, you know, this is real and this isn't real. This is for us. This isn't for us. If it said it in the Bible, I believed it. So I said, Patty came down and we found this little church and there were about 10 people in the church. And we went in there and you know, just the sweetest little pastor. It was a church of God and the sweetest little guy. And he just said, well, hey, how are y'all doing today? It's so good to have you. We'd probably the first visitor has been there in years. And he said, would y'all, he said, can y'all play any instruments? And Patty goes, well, Patty said, well, you know, she's played in the Methodist church, so she knew hymn 147 and 634, you know, and those kind of things. And he said, well, would you mind playing for us, sister? And so Patty got up there and she just started playing and, what was the song, Patty, that you played? It was one of those old hymns. That was it. It was, Oh, How I Love Jesus. And so he said, well, if you know that one, sister, you just play it over and over again. And so he did. So Patty got up there and she started just playing, Oh, How I Love Jesus. And she played it over and over and over again. And every time I hear that word, every time I heard that name that is above every name, that name of the one that had come, the lover of my soul that came to me in the darkest hour of my life, when I heard that name, I would weep and weep and weep. And I wept for months. Whenever you mentioned his name, I would weep.
We understand that.
Right. Hallelujah. Jesus. Boy, we take it for granted now. I do too. Oh God, help me to weep when I hear the name of Jesus. Not in sorrow, but in joy. So we just had a great old time in that little church. And the peace of God reigning, ruling. Philippians 4:7, we all know this passage. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, surpasses all understanding, all human understanding. The peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, which we can't understand. Father Terry, what are you talking about? What kind of peace? I want to know that. I don't know what it is. I don't know how it works. All I know is it's real. It passes my understanding. It's not dictated to by my circumstances or by the things going on, or if things are going well or they're not going well, if I got money or if I don't have money, if Auburn's winning or losing, all those things don't really matter. It's the peace of God. The peace of God surpasses all comprehension. And it's real. In 2 Corinthians 4:7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way. Listen to what Paul says. He said, we're afflicted in every way, but we're not crushed. Have you been afflicted? Well, if you've been afflicted, join the crowd, but we're not crushed. Have you been perplexed? He said, we're perplexed, but we're not despairing. He had to know what this peace was. He had to know that one that day that when Jesus revealed himself to Paul, when he was struck blind, when he knew that there was something that happened, there was a real, even though he hadn't been there at the resurrection, he knew there was a resurrected Christ that would come and live in him. He had this same peace that God gave, that Jesus gave to his disciples, the same peace that God gives to us today. Not that doesn't come from ourselves, that comes when we're afflicted but not crushed, perplexed but not despairing, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed. always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our bodies. I'm telling you, this is what we need. This is what the world needs. This is, again, why I say, why does the church not evangelize? Why is the church, whether it's the evangelical church or whatever church, the mainline denominations or the Roman Catholic Church, why are we not evangelizing? We have the greatest message that's ever been told. The simplest message that's ever been given. Amen? So next week I'll be speaking about something else that's good that He's given to us in His resurrection. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Do not let your heart be troubled. Amen.